President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a great morning. It is Friday, March 14th, one day from my 39th wedding anniversary. Debbie and I were we were married on March 15th, 1986. And so this is number 39. We're excited about that. Just like any other couple, we've had ups and downs. We've had trials and heartaches and hardships. But the good times far, far, far outweigh the tough times, and we just give the Lord all the praise for bringing us to this point, and we hope we have many more years together. And anyway, I tried to get her to come on today. She said, I have too much to do, but hopefully I'll get her to come on soon so you know that our marriage is not on the rocks. That's what I tease her about. Well, I have a question for you as we begin today. How angry are you? The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Did you know in that passage in Ephesians 4, it tells us to be angry? Be angry, and yet do not sin. Now, most of us equate anger with sin. When we get angry, we lose our temper, we blow our cool, so to speak, and we say things and do things that we think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And we all can go back in our minds and think of times where we lost our cool and we got angry. And typically, it's an embarrassing situation when we are angry. But did you know, not all anger is wrong? There is such a thing as righteous indignation. Jesus got angry when he saw what they were doing in the temple. And at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, he drove out the money changers. He overturned their tables. And he said, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. Stop turning it into a den of thieves." He was filled with righteous indignation. He didn't lose his temper, so to speak, from a sinful way. He saw what was happening, and he was righteously indignant. Well, yesterday, I saw a picture. I don't know where it was, but in one of the cities in America, and it was a picture of a Tesla dealership, and it was burned out, and just a row of cars completely burned out. And I just looked at that and just got angry that somebody would actually do that. And so I posted it on Facebook and said, you know, here is the tolerant left. They're the party, supposedly the party of tolerance, the party of peace, the party of joy. Kamala Harris ran on the, you know, this is, we're going to have a campaign of joy. It's all about the joy. Well, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all just symbolism without substance. It's all, you're just talking. None of this is real. And here is the evidence that it's not real. Because when things don't go your way, Then you respond, and what do we see? And this isn't true for, obviously, everybody that would be a progressive in his thinking that would be on the left. Not everybody is violent on the left. Not everybody is burning other people's property on the left. Not everybody is engaging in a violent protest, but enough of them do that you say, this is wrong. And the old saying is, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And when you taste the pudding from the left, you say, this is rotten. I mean, how in the world do you justify going after a man's business? And there's a reason why they're burning out Tesla dealerships and not some other electric car manufacturer. They're going after Tesla because they are going after Elon Musk. And they're going after Elon Musk because Elon Musk has aligned himself with President Donald Trump, and the left hates Donald Trump. There's not a, well, he's just not my favorite. No, they hate him. And now they hate Elon Musk because he's helping Donald Trump, because he is doing horrors, the terrible, awful crime committing that he is committing of auditing the federal government, exposing the waste, abuse, fraud, and corruption and ineptitude that exists, that's embedded, that's just baked in to the federal government. Now, as I have stated on numerous times on this program and on social media, what kind of a person, I mean, what does it say about you if you're upset that someone audits the books and shows, hey, there's waste here, there's fraud here, there's corruption here, there's abuse here. You have all this money, $12 billion you can't even account for. And you get mad at that? Well, if you get mad at that, you're either an imbecile. I mean, that's our money. It's our tax dollars. The government doesn't generate money on its own. It takes it from us. And so that's either you're an imbecile or you're on the take. You're somehow benefiting from that. Now, as I've said, and it bears repeating, I understand that when you look at government and you say we have to cut government waste and we have to cut the fat and we're $36 trillion in debt, and you know, if we keep going, we're what, the budget for this year in the federal government is a $2 trillion loss. We keep going like that, keep adding to the debt, adding to the debt, adding to the debt. You can only spend like a drunken sailor for so long before you go broke. And, you know, most of us don't have a very good concept, and we don't understand how huge an amount of money $1 trillion is. To give you an example, I did an AI search today, and I said, help me understand, put $1 trillion in perspective. And so AI said this, well, just to give you an idea how much that is, 1 trillion seconds, a trillion seconds is 31,709 years. If you counted $1 every second, it would take you 31,709 years to reach 1 trillion. That's just crazy. $1 trillion in $100 bills, if you could just stack them, it would create a stack 68,000 miles high, roughly the distance from the Earth to the Moon and back. And we're $36 trillion in debt. Now, Donald Trump said and campaigned on this fact, I'm going to create the Department of Government Efficiency, headed up by Elon Musk, and at that time, Vivek Ramaswamy, although he dropped out to pursue some other things. But Elon Musk was going to do this, and he was going to set his powerful mind on auditing the government and finding out where the waste is, and then let's do something about it. And this is not a new thing. Barack Obama in 2011, he got on national television and said, we need to deal with government waste. This is Barack Obama from 2011.
Everyone knows that getting rid of the deficit will require some tough decisions. And that includes cutting back on billions of dollars in programs that a lot of people care about. But what should be easy is getting rid of the pointless waste and stupid spending that doesn't benefit anybody. Waste we should be getting rid of even if we didn't have a deficit. Sure, some of these cuts aren't that big, but no amount of waste is acceptable. Not when it's your money. Not at a time when so many Americans are already cutting back. Just as families are living within their means, government should too. Did you know that the federal government pays for a website devoted to a folk music ensemble made up of forest rangers? They're called the Fiddlin' Foresters. I'll put their music on my iPod, but I'm not paying for their website. And there are hundreds of similar sites that we should consolidate or just get rid of. By the way, you're not only paying for websites no one needs, you're paying for thousands of buildings all across the country no one uses. For the last decade, the government's owned a massive and completely empty warehouse in the middle of Brooklyn, for example. Now, the government hadn't been able to sell this building and others like it because of red tape and Washington politics that held things up for years. But we're finally cutting through all that and plan to get rid of these buildings in the months ahead. We need to step up our game. We need to go after every dime. We need to make government work for you. That's why, starting today, I've asked the Vice President to lead a renewed effort to hunt down misspent tax dollars in every agency and department of this government.
That was Barack Obama, and he was going to turn that over to Joe Biden, and he goes on to say, nobody messes with Joe. Well, so Barack Obama in 2011 had Joe Biden on it like a bulldog, and I don't remember us saving much money in that time period in 2011. But Donald Trump's doing the same thing, and he's putting Elon Musk on it. Now, I don't mean to be disparaging, but there's a huge, huge difference in abilities and mental capabilities and the wherewithal to get things done when you compare Elon Musk to Joe Biden. Elon Musk knows how to make a system work. He knows how to make something efficient and effective. He has the capacity to do that. He's able to do that maybe better than anyone else on the planet. That guy is amazing when you just talk about from a business standpoint, from a technological standpoint, an engineering standpoint, the things that he can do. Really nobody else can do, and nobody can do them as efficiently as he does. So anyway, the point is, it's not a bad thing to go after waste and abuse and ineptitude and fraud and corruption, and every American ought to say, yes, we need to do that. But how is the left responding? They're responding the way, typically, sadly, the way they always do. With violence, with vandalism, with destruction of property, with cries of Nazi, racist, homophobe, bigot, all the things that they do. You're a terrible person. You're an awful person. Somebody said, you know, it's pretty surprising that they would go after electric vehicles. The left has been the party to say, you know, gas-powered vehicles are terrible and we need to save the environment and we're so afraid of climate, big bad climate change. And if we don't all go to electric vehicles by tomorrow night, you know, we're gonna all perish. And now they're burning down Tesla dealerships. They're going after the guy that's the biggest maker of electric vehicles because they hate him, because they hate Trump, because they hate the fact that he is exposing not just waste, but he is exposing fraud and the monies that have been going and funneling to George Soros-backed entities and NGOs and all those things. You know, you say, well, is that true? They're connecting the dots. But, you know, you're pretty naive if you don't think that human nature gets involved when money's involved and it just opens the door to corruption. So be angry and yet do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. It's okay to be righteously indignant. It's okay to look at injustice and say, that is wrong. It's not okay to plan somebody's demise, to allow that righteous anger to all of a sudden flood your heart with thoughts of violence and aggression and I'm going to, you know, fix your wagon type thing. We need to turn that over to the Lord. But it's okay to say, this is wrong and I'm going to take a stand against it. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And the question for today is, how angry are you? We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about anger. How angry are you? And there's two types of anger in the scripture. There is righteous indignation. God gets angry at things. God gets angry at sin. We read in the Old Testament, the anger of the Lord burned against so-and-so, against Israel or against Moses or what have you. And then we see in the New Testament that Jesus got angry. He was righteously indignant. Righteous indignation is not sinful. Be angry and yet do not sin. We run into trouble with anger is when we are angry not for the Lord's sake and not because we see injustice happening, but because somebody did something to us we didn't like. And it becomes a personal thing. And when anger becomes a personal thing, then we lash out in anger, then it's wrong. You know, the first cleansing of the temple, the anger of the Lord Jesus, is recorded in John chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. They're ripping the people off. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business, of merchandise." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The place where they were doing that was the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles is where they would come to pray. The Gentiles couldn't come any closer than that. You had the court of the Gentiles, then the court of the Jews, then the court for the priests, and then the holy place, which only the priests could go, and then the holy of holies, which only the high priest could go, and he could only go one time a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But in the place where the Gentiles were supposed to go to encounter God, they had turned that into a den of thieves, and they were ripping the people off with their money exchange, saying you had to have temple money to use at the temple, and they charged exorbitant fees to exchange the money, and they were just in it for the money, and they had turned something that the Lord set up to be a good thing, and they had turned it into some greedy profit situation, and it was sickening, and it was angering to the Lord. Now, some of you may remember way back when, if you lived in the Texas area, you may remember the name Eddie Childs. Eddie Childs was the owner of the Texas Rangers from 1980 to 1989. Very wealthy man, built a company called the Western Company of North America. And it was an oil field service company, and built it, you know, out from scratch. And it was a very successful company, very, very profitable company. Well, he had radio spots, and he was carried on hundreds of radio stations. And he had a familiar saying, and his saying was this: "I'm Eddie Childs, and I'm mad." And then he went on to say, as he would do these rants, these you know, 3 or 4 minute rants on radio stations, he would say why he was mad. And so I found this article, and it said, "Let me tell you," this is Eddie Childs, "why I am mad. 40 years ago, I started the Western Company, and under the free enterprise system, I was able to build that company into an international organization with some 4,000 employees. Today, I'm afraid the opportunity I had no longer exists. During the last 50 years, the liberal philosophy practiced by Congress has literally turned the American dream into a nightmare. And this makes me mad, fighting mad. I love America, and I'm determined to fight to get our freedoms back. And there was a bumper sticker campaign that was going on during those days of the 1980s, and you would see bumper stickers that said this, "I'm mad too, Eddie." Because every time Eddie would do a radio spot, he'd say, "I'm Eddie Chiles, and I'm mad." And so he was mad about big government. And most of us don't, I say most of us, there's some of us that don't realize how important big government is to the left. We know that there's a battle, a philosophical battle, an ideological battle between the conservative right and the liberal left. Well, Dennis Prager, who has Prager University, he explains this so well. I think the 5-minute videos that Prager University puts out are so informative. I would encourage parents to have their kids watch that. You can learn a lot in 5 minutes because of the way they break things out. They have good visuals in their little 5-minute videos. But here is Dennis Prager talking about the left versus the right as it relates to government. Here's what he has to say.
One of the most important differences between the left and the right is how each regards the role and the size of the government. The left believes that the state should be the most powerful force in society. Among many other things, the government should be in control of educating every child, should provide all health care, and should regulate often to the minutest detail how businesses conduct their business. In Germany, for instance, the government legislates the time of day stores have to close. In short, there should ideally be no power that competes with government. Not parents, not businesses, not private schools, not religious institutions, not even the individual human conscience. Conservatives, on the other hand, believe the government's role in society should be limited to absolute necessities, such as national defense, and to being the resource of last resort to help citizens who cannot be helped by family, by community, or by religious and secular charities. Conservatives understand that as governments grow in size and power, the following will inevitably happen. One, there will be ever-increasing amounts of corruption. Power and money breed corruption. People in government will sell government influence for personal and political gain, and people outside government will seek to buy influence and favors.
Now, what does that remind you of? That's Dennis Prager talking about things. We're going to sell a government influence. What was going on with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, the big guy? They were selling government influence. That was the charge levied against Hillary Clinton also, selling government influence. And so Dennis Prager is saying that is going to be a temptation. Listen, every person and every leader has to watch out for three things: money, sex, and power. Deuteronomy chapter 17 tells us, the word of the Lord, that when they were going to go into the promised land and want to have a king, which they did, we had the period of the judges, but after that they said, "Give us a king." They told Samuel, "Give us a king like all the other nations have a king." And Samuel was grieved when they said that, and God was grieved because God was their king, but they wanted a king that they could see. And he said, through Moses in Deuteronomy, he said, "Hey, when you get into the promised land, let me tell you ahead of time, you're going to ask for a king, even though I'm your king." And he said, here's what you got to watch out for: the king. Three main areas: money, sex, and power. He's not to multiply wives. He's not to, the king is not to multiply horses, which is military power, and he's not to multiply silver and gold. And so money, sex, and power, watch those three things. And what do we see in government? People are tempted with money, with sex, and with power, selling influence. Dennis Prager said that's going to be a problem. Let's keep going.
In Africa and Latin America, government corruption has been the single biggest factor holding nations back from progressing. Two, individual liberty will decline, with a few exceptions, such as an unrestricted right to abortion. Individual liberty is less important to the left than to the right. This is neither an opinion nor a criticism. It is simple logic. The more control the government has over people's lives, the less liberty people have. Three, countries with ever-expanding governments will either reduce the size of their government or eventually collapse economically. Every welfare state ultimately becomes a Ponzi scheme, relying on new payers to pay previous payers. And when it runs out of the new payers, the scheme collapses. All the welfare states of the world, including wealthy European countries, are already experiencing this problem to varying degrees.
That is Dennis Prager, and he's hitting the nail on the head. The big difference between the left and the right has to do with how they view government. Now, Eddie Childs, who was mad, he said, because of big government. His three favorite topics way back in the 80s, big government, and big government. He was against big government. Now, we want to have more freedom. And so it's an inverse relationship. So the bigger the government, the less the freedom. The bigger the freedom and the more freedom that you have, the smaller the government. I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, you know, the most dangerous words that you'll ever hear are these: I'm from the government and I'm here to help. The government, it packages itself like, hey, just turn it over to me. I'm here to help. But the government doesn't help because it runs into all those temptations of money, of sex, and of power, and we're going to control you, and it's a disaster. And so we need to get back to smaller government, and obviously eliminating the waste of government and eliminating the loopholes for corruption in government. And which is what DOGE is trying to do, and at a tremendous cost to Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk is a sinner, just like you are, just like I am. He's subject to temptation just like we are. You know, we have a tendency to deify these people that are our leaders and put on rose-colored glasses and just say, well, they never do anything wrong. And those who are pro-Trump, well, pro-Trump, just everything he says is right, everything he does is right. Those who were pro-Barack Obama and pro-Joe Biden and pro-the left, it's just they just can't see any negatives. I have some friends that they would post they actually posted this. I was shocked. It was just about Joe Biden stepping down from the election and from the 2024 race because he's just so noble and so of such high moral character and fiber that he's doing this for the good of the country. And they actually believe that. I was shocked when I read that. And they're just so flowery in their language in this post about how wonderful Joe Biden was and how he's just such a man of integrity and a man of dignity and a man of character. It's like they told Joe Biden, if you don't drop out, we're going to run you through the coals. We're going to bring you up on the 25th Amendment. We're going to say you're incompetent and we're going to trash you. He went out kicking and screaming. I don't even think he wrote the letter and signed it. I think they did that for him. We're going to write the letter. We're going to sign it and you're going to abide by it. You know, it's just amazing to me how people can be so naive. And so, as we have stated numerous times on Real Truth for Today, it is incumbent upon us as believers to immerse ourselves in the truth of the Word of God, so that we're able to stay centered on true north. Solid food is for the mature, Hebrews 5:14. Who, because of practice in the Word of God, who are disciplined in the Word of God, who discipline themselves for the purpose of godliness, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. To discern good, the Greek word is kalos, K-A-L-O-S. That is good, beautiful, versus evil, kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Now, if you notice, think in your mind, that those are five-letter words, K-A-L-O-S, K-A-K-O-S, good and evil. Good and evil are very close. That's how the devil works. He's the master liar, and the best lies are the ones that sound most like the truth. And so, you know, it's easy to distinguish between a clock that is 5 hours wrong. You just look at it and say, oh, that's wrong, versus a clock that is 5 minutes wrong. You know, I had a problem some time ago with a watch that was not keeping time, and it would fall behind. And so I'd think, oh, I'm in good shape. I still got 5 more minutes before this appointment. And what I didn't realize was the clock was 5 minutes slow. And so I was in trouble because I was like, oh, great, I'm late to this Zoom meeting or to whatever I was supposed to go to. And so a clock 5 minutes wrong can cause you a lot more problems than a clock 5 hours wrong. 5 hours wrong, you just know it's wrong. And the devil is too smart to come at you with a clock that's 5 hours wrong. So he's going to come 5 minutes wrong, and you have to immerse yourself in the truth of the Word of God to know the difference between good, kalos, and evil, kakos. And so you can't just believe everything that you hear on television, everything that you hear in the news. And if you're listening to CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, just know they're 90 to 95% against Donald Trump and against what's going on in the Trump administration. And they're not going to give you the unbiased truth. And we need to have the unbiased truth. So we have to do our homework to figure out what is true and what is not. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. We've been talking about anger and righteous indignation versus unrighteous indignation. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 if you'd like to call in. And if you have a question, you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. I want to finish the little piece with Dennis Prager as he's talking about the differences between the left and the right as it relates to government. The left wants big government, and the right wants more freedom, smaller government. And so here is his list of all these things that happen when you have big government.
4, in order to pay for an ever-expanding government, taxes are constantly increased. But at a given level of taxation, the society's wealth producers will either stop working, work less, hire fewer people, or move their business out of the state or out of the country. 5, big government produces big deficits and ever-increasing and ultimately unsustainable debt. This, too, is only logical. The more money the state hands out, the more money people will demand from the state. No recipient of free money has ever said, "Thank you, I have enough." Unless big governments get smaller, they will all eventually collapse under their own weight, with terrible consequences socially as well as economically. Six, the bigger the government, the greater the opportunities for doing great evil. The 20th century was the most murderous century in recorded history. And who did all this killing? Big governments. Evil individuals without power can do only so much harm. But when evil individuals take control of a big government, the amount of harm they can do is essentially unlimited. The right fears big government. The left fears big business. But Coca-Cola can't break into your house or confiscate your wealth. Only big government can do that. As irresponsible as any big business has ever been, it is only big government that can build concentration camps and commit genocide. Seven, big government eats away at the moral character of a nation. People no longer take care of other people. After all, they know the government will do that. That's why Americans give far more of their money and volunteer far more of their time to charity than do Europeans at the same economic level. Without the belief in an ever-expanding government, there is no left. Without a belief in limited government, there is no right. I'm Dennis Prager.
So that was Dennis Prager talking about the differences between the left and the right as it relates to government. It helps you to understand where the other person is coming from. Obviously, we need government to protect us. We need government for national defense. We need government for laws to keep people from stealing from us or from killing us. We need to have law enforcement. Officers and those kinds of things. We need to have roads and public amenities so that we can function. But outside of that, you don't need to have government involved in every single thing. And in this idea that we're going to turn healthcare over to the government would be disastrous because, as is being discovered by DOGE and as people have known for a long time, the government is grossly inefficient, and it is subject to waste, ineptitude, fraud, and corruption. And so private business does things so much differently than the government does because they are subject to audits and they are subject to accountabilities. And, you know, if you're not doing your job, you're going to get canned. And that doesn't normally happen in the government agencies. And as Elon Musk pointed out, you know, $12 billion went to the Pentagon for submarines or something like that. I forget what exactly it did, but they couldn't account for it. They don't know what happened to it. $12 billion. Well, good grief. I mean, how does that work? Yeah, you have an audit of a business and they have a big chunk of money that, yeah, I don't know where that went. Well, you have to be able to know where that went. And if you don't know where that went, somebody's going to get fired. And naturally, somebody's going to think you guys are stealing because that's why there's not a paper trail on what happened with this money. So, listen, it's okay to be righteously indignant. And you look around at what is happening and you look around at specifically what's happening to Elon Musk and just say, that's wrong. This guy's trying to help us. Not a perfect individual. We don't have any perfect people on planet Earth. We definitely don't have any perfect people that are working in government. But I look at this guy, Elon Musk, and I see a guy that cares about America and recognizes, because he's a businessman and he's an entrepreneur and an inventor deluxe, he, like Trump, recognizes you can't have all this debt that continues to grow and grow and grow without a day of reckoning. And as Dennis Prager said, the problem with big government is eventually it collapses under its own weight. And then Well, you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You're going to have a serious, serious, serious problem. And once the spigot gets cut off on these entitlement programs because there's no money and we are totally bankrupt, then what are people going to do? And so you want to head that off before it gets there. Listen, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for America. We need to be praying for our leaders. The Bible commands us to do that. And we need to pray, James 1:5, for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we need to be praying for God's protection as our country is so divided. And we do have this element in our country that is so upset with what is going on that they're resorting to going after Elon Musk's business and whatever they can do, a coordinated effort to attack his cars and his dealerships and all the things that they are trying to do. It is indeed a sad and angering situation, righteous indignation. Now, how do you know the difference between anger and righteous indignation, between sinful anger, you're losing your temper because these things are happening to you, versus you're angry about people violating the laws of God? Well, the difference is when you have righteous indignation, you're angry about a situation. You're angry about an ideology. You're angry that the devil is at work, and you can see the results of his labor right before your eyes. That's righteous indignation. But when you have unrighteous anger, it's because it's all directed at you. You know, sometimes preachers can get like that, and people will say, I just think that guy, as he preaches, he seems to be angry. Now, like I said, it's fine to be angry over sin, but it's not fine to be angry at individuals. And so I tell people this all the time. I say, listen, you know, when I preach, I'm not talking to anyone, any person in particular. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you all. I'm talking to you in the plural. And so much of my preaching, and as I told this one lady I went to high school with who got on me about some posts on Facebook, and I said, you know, my preaching, my posts are pretty much kind of like this. If the shoe fits, wear it. I'm not talking about you. But if you put yourself in that category, if you're the one that's burning down Tesla dealerships, yeah, you'd probably be upset with what I'm posting, because you're the one in the, you know, in the crosshairs. I remember Adrian Rogers said something one time. Somebody got mad at him about something he said, and his response was this: I was shooting in a barrel, and it's not my problem if you were in there. I think that's the way a lot of preachers are, and that's not a bad way to be. You know, John the Baptist is very straightforward. He's a preacher of righteousness, and boom, here it goes. And I'm going to speak the truth in love, but I'm not backing down off the truth. And if you're sleeping with your secretary and committing adultery, and I preach to you from Hebrews 13, verse 4, let marriage be held in high honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Well, I don't like that you said that. You said that about me. I said that about fornicators and adulterers. If you put yourself in that camp, that's on you. That's not on me. And I'm delivering the mail. Thus says the Lord, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now, when you and I get angry, when we lose it, when we just lose our temper and we say things we wish we hadn't said, we do things we wish we hadn't done, it's unrighteous anger. It's not righteous indignation. Righteous indignation doesn't blow its top and start spewing lava out at everybody. It doesn't do that. And Jesus, even though he got angry and drove out the money changers, he's not out of control. God never has anger where it's out of control. If God had anger out of control, we'd all be dead. But he's very controlled in his response. But when you and I lose it, then we need to search our hearts. We need to get things right with God, and we need to remember that anger has a high price. Unrighteous indignation and unrighteous anger has a high price associated with it. You know, Moses, the meekest man on the earth, the one of the greatest men who ever lived, the guy that God knew face to face, well, he had a problem with anger. And when he was supposed to speak to the rock, remember, he struck the rock. He was so mad at the people. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." And Moses wanted that more than anything. And he asked the Lord again, "Please, Lord, let me have an opportunity to take the people into the land." And the Lord said, "Enough. Don't talk to me about this anymore. You're not going in." And why was he not going in? Because when God told him to speak to the rock, he, in anger toward the people, struck the rock. And the reason you say, why is that such a big deal? Because the rock was a picture of Jesus. The Lord told Moses to strike the rock earlier because that rock is a picture of Jesus, who was struck once. He died once for all sins, for the sins of the whole world, one time crucified. And Jesus, and that picture, he destroyed that picture that the Lord was trying to get across, because once Jesus has been struck, the rock has been struck, then you don't strike the rock again, you speak to the rock. But because of anger, he destroyed that picture, and he failed, as the Lord says, failed to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. So he didn't go into the promised land. Hey, anger can have devastating consequences. Be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Hey, when we blow it, when we lose our temper, when we let things go and we start to explode like a volcano and we just erupt on people at work or people in business and people at home, we just let it out because we can't control ourselves. We give the devil an opportunity, literally a place. Don't give the devil a topos, from which we get our English word topography. Don't give him a place, because if you let the sun go down on your anger, especially think about that in marriage, you let the sun go down on your anger, you don't work through problems. You get mad at your spouse because your spouse hurts your feelings, whether accidentally or on purpose, they hurt your feelings, and all hurt eventually turns to anger. And then if you don't talk it out, if you let the sun go down on your anger day after day after day after day, you give the devil a place. And he, when the devil gets a place, all he needs is a little toehold, and he turns a toehold into a foothold and a foothold into a stronghold, and he brings a devastation into your marriage and into your family. So talk things out and make sure your heart is not seething in anger. Righteous indignation is it's a byproduct of walking with God, but we're not seething in anger. We just see those injustices, we bring them before the Lord, and we say, "Lord, you judge. You're the judge of all the earth, and you will deal justly." And we deliver that up to you, and we speak the truth in love, and we stand up for what is right. But we don't let the anger filter into our hearts where we're acting in anger. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray that God would use you to make a difference in your world for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.